Join GOMO today and get 1 month free. With GOMO, you get all calls, texts, all 5G data for just $14.99 a month for life. Switching is easy. Visit gomo.ie, sign up, and you are good to GOMO. So what are you waiting for? Join GOMO and get 1 month free. Hurry, offer ends soon. Unlimited data refers to domestic use only. 30-day contract applies. A once-off SIM activation fee of $14.99 applies. For full details, terms, roaming and text fare use, see gomo.ie.
Eurovision, Ireland's number one Eurovision podcast.
Diaiv, Gachtina, Balcha, Arat, to the Eurovision podcast. You're very, very welcome back. It's been a little while. We've been catching up. We've been living our lives. Connor, we didn't break up.
No.
We didn't fall out. We didn't fall off a cliff. We've been busy bees. How are you, my petal? You've been sick.
Yeah, I was really, really sick. I thought I'd get it after Eurosong, you know, when you come down from that buzz and of course like we're so busy. I didn't get it this year and I was like, okay, I've over the hump. And then suddenly, you know, 2-3 weeks later, I was in work and I was just like, oh my God, I can feel something coming on. And the next day it was as if I got hit by a lorry.
Oh.
And yeah, I'm fine now, but it took me like 10 days to recover. So it was really, really hard. But it was grand. But of course, like, you were traveling. You were in Malta serving cant, even though we're not allowed to say it anymore. How is
it will
Malta?
Always be cant on the Eurovision podcast. Us Irish, we don't mind. We respect all the... No, I'm joking.
How was Malta?
Malta was fabulous, thank you. It was really nice. My 30th country before hitting 30 years old. Oh my God. So yeah, it was really fun. Beautiful country. Highly recommend, guys. If you're ever looking for a nice, warm weekend, warm holiday, it's a great spot. Beautiful food, great people. Yeah.
Did you find it hilly?
Like a little bit. The Valletta, the city centre, is kind of weird.
Yeah.
In its setup, but there's actually like a lift from one high up part to the bottom.
I wish I knew that when I was there. Oh my God, my knees were gone by the end of the week.
I have to shout out Strictly Jonathan, good pal of ours on the pod. The amount of recommendations he sent me on for Malta, because I believe him and his husband Sean, shout out to you guys for listening. Well, they got married in Malta.
Yeah.
They had iconic Aidan at their wedding.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
They've been in Malta loads of times. So he sent me on so many recommendations. Yeah, went to one of his restaurant recommendations, lost my life. Anyway, this is not a travel podcast, but I do highly recommend Malta. And thanks to Jonathan and Sean for their recs. Guys, I'll always take travel recommendations. We should just drop in, Connor, when we're going places on the pod. And then just like, you know, because I feel like there's a crossover with Eurovision fans.
Mm-hmm.
And I love a travel and I love a new places. Have you got any plans on your horizon?
I do. I'm heading back to the UK. Ooh, boo, boo.
There's a lot of anti-British sentiment already. You can feel St. Patrick's Day is
you
coming
up. You can
tell
up. It's March. It's my birthday month as well. So it's time to be a bit more devious.
British listeners, we're joking.
Yeah, of course. It's always jokes. Only bands here. I actually prefer these kind of chats to the Eurovision sometimes.
Yeah.
Especially when it's like dull episodes. But
sure, we adopted one.
We did. So we're allowed. We get
Sam's
a pass.
Sam's now legally resident in Ireland.
Woo!
Big up,
Sam. Woo-hoo! Big up, Sam.
Anyway, sorry. Back to your
back to my
excursions.
Travel. Yeah, but I'm going to Birmingham and Manchester. I don't think they're like the most exotic places compared to Malta, but they're exciting. Yeah, it's going to be a fun few days, I guess. And what?
Where are we going in April?
Oh, we're going to London.
Woo-hoo!
Officially going to London now. And all three of us are going to London as well.
The three of us have never done a pre-party
we've
together.
Never done a pre-party both together. Myself and Lou have never done a pre-party together either.
Yeah, because
we've... Which is really, really weird.
Yeah, you can't really count the Stockholm pre-party because that's more a national final.
Well, yeah, like LEP or nothing like that. So officially going to London together, which will be very, very exciting.
Woo-hoo. So if you see us there, say hello.
Can't wait for that.
And guys, please stop mixing me and Alex up.
Stop talking to me in the bathroom. That's the goal this year.
Don't talk to Connor in the bathroom. And me and Alex are two different people, okay? Even though it's a compliment, and I will happily take it, but yeah.
I got to say something, though, actually.
Yeah.
Just
speak your truth.
I was holding this for the podcast. The last two nights, I was working in my job, one of my jobs, at Sabrina Carpenter. She was in Dublin for the last two nights. And it was around the Keys and stuff, and we were doing an event for the radio station and stuff. And I just got to say, I cannot wait for the day that Ireland gets to host the Eurovision Song Contest and it's held in the Three Arena. The vibes were immaculate. Like, I could just imagine all the flags roaming through Dublin by the Liffey. I just said it to myself last night when I was standing around, and it was like the sun was out and it was nippy, but like it was nice. And I just said, God, Dublin will do Eurovision so, so good.
I really think so. I think it'd be like close to a Liverpool vibe. Not the exact same, but like, because everything will be very close.
Mm-hmm.
And we've talked about it lots. Yeah. Like, I think if you use that section of the Keys, like the convention centre and all of that, and then you could probably use the RDS because that's not too far over the river. If you need for other stuff, like the Three Arena is like on the edge of town, so walkable to like all the big clubs and stuff. What would our Camp and Furnace equivalent be? Because I think the George is too much of like a nightclub in its own right.
Yeah.
A lot of our clubs are pretty small.
Yeah, you'd probably have to do like a makeshift.
Unless you use the RDS for that.
Probably, yeah. Even though it'd be all right. Like Malmo did that. They didn't have like a club essentially. Like it was more of a convention centre, I would say.
Put up a big tent in Fairview Park.
Yeah.
That's around the corner from Three Arena.
I think Dublin Castle will definitely be like the village.
Oh God, Dublin Castle would be such a good village.
Yeah.
Bit small though.
Bit small. And the Europa League one was like decent, but it was still small. So
Phoenix Park? Is it a bit far down?
You probably have to do shuttle buses.
It's actually, Phoenix Park's probably actually too big.
Yeah.
You'd have to pick a section of it.
It'd be a nice like conundrum for us to decide where. Because we have so many like beautiful spots, but it's just like in terms of numbers and
weather as well.
Like if you get, if like Dublin on a lovely day is like, you can't beat it.
How smug would we be if we won Eurovision that was hosted in Dublin?
Oh, like
we just, I'd take all the time off I could for that.
Absolutely. Jesus Christ. We'd be so busy as well.
Wouldn't want to miss anything.
We would be so busy. We could do so much content. Like imagine like us roaming around the place going like, this is where it's going
to
be.
We definitely do. Like I'd be like wanting to do a food crawl. We'd probably want to do like a pub crawl. I'd definitely be like getting some Gaeilge in. Oh, you could bring everyone to see some Irish dancing. Get like a special river dance concert somewhere. Like all the Irish artists would come around to do gigs. Oh, it'd be so good. Even if you go out in Dublin on something like Culture Night. I love Culture Night in Dublin. It's such a good vibe.
Even like Paddy's festival now that it's turned into like the week of Paddy's. It's so, so good. Like the amount, like everywhere's green as well. And oh, so nice. So, so nice. But even like with Eurovision, like May, the weather in May, we always get so lucky
as
well.
It tends to be better here in May and like September.
Our summer is 2 weeks of Eurovision.
It like teases us.
And that's it.
You remember that like 2020 COVID weather in May? Oh my God.
That would have been the heat wave.
So nice in Liverpool that time. Anyway, guys. Let us know.
7 minutes of rambling.
I feel like we come around to this like once a year. We're like, so when we host? So Emmy, we hope you're pulling the socks up, girl. It'd actually be so gas. It'd be so gas. But we definitely need to catch up because we've had illnesses, we've had holidays, we've had busy work lives, busy all things. So guys, bear with us, okay? We're catching up a little bit. And if you feel we don't cover your favourite song enough. No, you didn't. Bear in mind, we're going to rattle through everything eventually, but we are like a little bit behind on our schedule, which is fine because we will do our quick fires again in April, which we know always go down well. And it's worth holding out for them, especially when we've had a while to sit with the songs. Sometimes it's harder to truly know how we feel about them when they're new and we haven't like seen them at pre-parties yet, or, you know, some of them don't have music videos and stuff. So yeah, bear with.
This time of year as well, like we said, we have 8 songs coming in the next few days alone.
Yeah.
And we've, you know, so many to catch up on. So
it's an overload.
Busy time.
It's an overload. But we're going to have a bit of crack today. We're going to catch up. I'm looking forward to talking about some of these with you, Connor. Today, we're going to be chatting about Lithuania, Italy, Armenia and Iceland. Quite a selection there. We're kind of going to every corner of Europe, which is fun. Connor, where are we kicking it off?
The first country we are heading to is Lithuania. And we're going to be talking about the winner of Eurovisia.lt 2025. And that is Catharsis with Tavo Akis, meaning your eyes. So from In Your Eyes from Ireland to Your Eyes in Lithuania, Catharsis is the winner of the Lithuanian National Final. This was the second year of the rebranded National Final after last year as well. They came out on top in the semi, in the final. The show this year I felt was running for like months and months and months for some reason. I don't know. I feel like there was a Lithuanian National Final on every Saturday.
It's too much.
Too much. Yeah. Too much. Way too much.
Five or six heats, like loads of heats.
Oh, too much. Too much. Way too much. And yeah, I don't know. I didn't watch it. But anyway, we have a winner, Catharsis. What did you make of it? did you watch Lithuania? I presume not.
No. When was that on?
Lost track.
Let me
I feel like it was probably on a Super Saturday or
Lithuania.
It actually was. It was on Super Saturday, the 15th of February.
No, do you know what? That was on in the background. But we had like Estonia, Norway, Lithuania, Italy. Yeah. So I was going on my
hal remix.
Lou is AI robot confirmed.
Rebooting.
Just recalibrating. Connor, will you pull the string in the back? Jesus. Sorry about that, lads. Hal. Yes, sorry. I was going on my holidays that day. You know what? Sam and I made such a stupid decision, right? We were like flying at 6 in the morning. Oh, stupid. We had to go to the airport at like 3 or whatever. We were like, sure, San Remo's on till like 1. We'll just stay up. So we stayed up all night and we put ourselves through Estonia, Norway, Lithuania, Italy, finished packing, went to the airport. Hell on earth. Worth it when we got to Malta, but so difficult.
You actually did stay up?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah, poor Sam was sick in the airport. So bad. So bad. So yeah, I just left for the whole flight. So like... But I had to nap then in Malta. It was
a long flight though. It's like 3.5 hours, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, so I got a bit of a kip on the flight.
Fair.
But it was rough in that airport, let me tell you. So yeah, that's my memory of that night. Lithuania. I feel like Lithuania, along with Latvia, countries like that, personally, I'd nearly be taking more of an interest in them if there was just a final. And I was just flicking it on to see, and it was like, you know, there are 7 or 8 best songs that were entered. But when it's been going on, when it's been a marathon for like 2 months, and especially when you're not seeing much, because I personally don't have time to follow every like heat or semi-final of every national selection. I don't think a lot of people do. Some do, that's fair enough. But when you're not seeing much rumblings of people talking about like, favorites, like, you know, for example, 2019, I remember really early on, people were excited about the Roop. You know, it was like, oh, this actually is like a real contender to be one of Lithuania's best entries, etc. And like, you know, we had a bit of a buzz last year with Sylvester Bell and things like that. When there isn't as much of that, it harder took me into the final. So long story short, I wasn't as interested in the final. I tuned in and out. When I saw the winner, I felt very whelmed. Now, this song, it's one of those where I'm like, it's probably just not for me. I don't think I'm the audience. I actually really like what they're doing. I think the imagery is really nice. So very much kind of a moody, dark feeling to this entry. They've got a lot of kind of grim visuals on the LED. It's really giving like that kind of, what would you say, harking back to difficult Soviet times, which, you know, like for that region of Europe, like it's, they have a very kind of difficult past that isn't that long ago, you know, less than a generation ago for a lot of them. And it's got this kind of, what would you say, it's just very moody. It's got that like, I can't think of words today. Emo's not the right term, but it's in that bracket.
Dark rock.
Dark rock. Yeah, yeah. And I can see why people would identify with this. I think for me, I'm just really vibing with like the upbeat entries this year. So I'm not really vibing with this one. I'm also not keeping the tune of it in my head as much. So it's not really for me. It's definitely lower down on my personal ranking. However, I actually think for the year that's in it, it's probably a good thing that it's in the mix, because there is an audience I could see really liking this, and there isn't as much of this flavor of music in Eurovision this year. So it's always good to have, you know, variety for the audience. Yeah, I have so little else to say though. I like qualification, not impossible. Depends how they execute it. Lithuania always seem to have a good bit of support though in the semis. They're really coming on as a mini little powerhouse. So I could see this getting through to the final. What do you think, Connor?
Yeah, not too far away from your own thoughts, to be honest. It's not something that I would personally listen to. It's mad. Like, the people that really, really love this, and like have to as their like winner or like top three. And then I feel like the people who are like, you know, mid interested have it like bottom five or something like that. I don't think it's an entry that is, you know, sticking in the middle. You either love it or you hate it. And for me, like, I don't mind it. It's low down for me because I just don't listen to this type of music anyway. Which is surprising because it is kind of sad and dark. And my sister does say that I listen to sad and dark songs most of the time when she's looking at my Spotify. But other than that, I think it is like a dark and emotional song. It comes across well in like the staging, which is good. You know, obviously it's not in English, so when we're listening to it, you know, not really understanding what they're saying, you do feel like there is an emotional meaning behind the song, which is really, really important, I guess, to, you know, non-Duanian speakers like ourselves. So I think, look, it's a cool package, and I think it will do well, like you said, in a year that is so, so loud and happy and, you know, wacky, and, you know, you've Space Dogs, you have Milkshakes, you have people...
Erica Vickman,
yeah. So you have loads of things happening. I think this will probably stand out really, really well, particularly in semi-final too, when you look at it, like I was saying. Milkshake Band, Like a Party, Ikome and Kant, and, you know, even like the Poopy Monte song. It's all like really, really loud, upbeat songs. So something dark and emotional might stand out and do quite well, I think, to be honest. Interesting, like I'm just looking back on like Lithuania's past results, and like they haven't come, you know, top 15 in the last 5 years, which is really, really good. Top 15 results, like, you know, the lowest placing they've had is 14th place. So they are on like a really, really golden streak at the moment, which is interesting to see. Like, we've come really, really far from the days of, you know, Reign of Revolution in 2017 when you think about it. So it's good to see Lithuania.
Run with the Lions.
Run with the Lions. That finished 11th in semi-final two. Like, how's that nearly qualified? That is crazy to me. Anyway, it's good to see Lithuania on like a good streak. And I do think this will qualify, just given that it is so different to what, you know, is a pretty loud and vibrant semi-final too. So I think people who will want that kind of quieter, more, I don't want to say like a proper song, because that sounds really, really disrespectful for the other ones. But you know what I mean? Just a song that is kind of straightforward, sad.
It's a different type of quality.
Different type of quality. Yeah. Exactly. And I think that will probably attract the votes.
Yes.
Do that, to see it in the final. Juries, I think, will really, really like this too, given it's kind of rocky. For me, I think, just thinking there out loud, Ukraine, this is a song I would feel like would come from Ukraine.
Yeah.
And, you know, we see how well they do as well with songs. So I think if Lithuania can really upscale this and stage this really, really well, get across what they're getting across in that national final performance, I think it could do really kind of decent enough and keep their kind of, you know, streak of finishing in the top 14 going. I think so. So I think Lithuania have chosen well. I don't know what else was in the national final up for grabs, to be honest. So I don't know if
I
this was...
I vaguely watched it, but...
Yeah, I did see some people online saying that this is a really popular band in Lithuania.
Yeah.
And, you know, this song itself might not be one of their strongest, you know, compared to their other discography and stuff like that. But I think, you know, to have a big name from Lithuania competing is always good, you know, to send the strongest acts from this country. So, yeah, interesting to see. For me, not my personal cup of tea, but I can understand why some people really, really like this.
Another quick thing as well that's quite cool is that if you look at the last 4 years of Lithuanian entries, this is the third. So there's 3 out of 4 entries that have been totally in Lithuanian. And then like Monica Liu with...
Sentimente.
Not Monica Liu. The other Monica would say Tuto. That was, you know, the chorus was in Lithuanian. So it's actually cool that they have their language represented so much at the contest and that they do well with their language represented in the contest. And then if you include the Roop in that in the last 5 years, like the Roop obviously like really popular, really well. So great streak that they've had. Yeah. Oh, I love Discotheque. Such a banger.
It's actually mad, sorry, just to butt in. It's mad looking at the song. Like it's very short, like lyrically. It's only 3 stanzas.
There's a lot of instrumental. You know, as well, not to get too introspective, I think I've been a devil for this recently, Connor. I apologize. But like I'm really like invested in my like current affairs and politics at the minute. And I know you've an interest in this as well. I'm sure a lot of our listeners, one of our favorite Eurovision ladies, Eurovision creators over here at the Eurovision podcast, Alicia Michelle, she often talks about the mood of Europe.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I remember her talking about it post-COVID that she thought Europe would want a party or that maybe Europe would be sad after the pandemic. But when we all voted for Måneskin, it was like that we were angsty, that we wanted to get out, that we were like, let us out of our box. And it seems like a lot of Europeans this year within national finals, you know, the news is such a slog, like it's such a downer to follow, to try and follow what's happening in the world. There's so much, you know, difficulty going on. It's awful. And people just want a lift. Like people want the space dog. People want Erica Vickman on the microphone, as we've referenced all that stuff. But Lithuania, when you consider their position in Europe, geographically, metaphorically, etc., they're in quite a precarious position, you know, and it's interesting that they've picked something that seems quite introspective and kind of thoughtful. And it's interesting that this is what they went with. But, you know, I saw a point online, is this reflective of how Lithuania is feeling now? It's an interesting one. But all that remains to be seen, I suppose, how it gets on in the contest on the big stage.
Mm-hmm.
So Lithuania, well done on selecting in your...
I love that, well done on picking. You chose a song.
And I can never bloody pronounce their national selection. Eurovisia.lt.
Wait, the dot.
It's better than the one, what was it? Pabundamus Nyaho or something.
Oh, yeah. Pablo is Nanjo or, yeah, weird.
Banjo.
Weird. Banjo.
Banjo.
Banjo. It was like Pablo. Who's Pablo?
Pablo.
Oh, yeah, Pablo. Pablo's picking the songs in the corner.
This isn't because we're about to talk about Italy, by the way. All right. Segue. We are segueing south to Italia, beautiful Italy. Italy held its national festival, and I announced it this way. I'm sure many of you know why.
Controversial.
It's national annual festival, San Remo Music Festival, which takes place in the beautiful town of San Remo on the Italian coast in northern Italy. This took place on February the 11th to February the 15th, 2025. Real ones will know it's a marathon, not a sprint. A long, long marathon at that. So, yeah, the festival has a dual purpose. It kind of represents the best of Italian music each year. And also the winner kind of has first refusal to go to Eurovision or not. Connor, what happened this year? Who won the San Remo Festival?
Ollie won San Remo Festival, technically.
Oh, well, that's weird because he's not on Eurovision World, so therefore he must not exist.
Exactly.
That's fake news, actually,
fake
Connor.
Fake news.
That's misinformation.
If you know, you know. Yeah.
Academy.
Ollie won San Remo with Balorda Nostalgica.
We're doing so well Jesus with the languages Christ. Today.
This is hard, lads. Hard slog. Yeah, he won Sanremo, but he refused to go because he's a concert or like a international. What do you call it?
Tour.
Tour. There we go. That's the word. He's a tour. He's a tour, and he'd rather make the money off that. So he said no to Eurovision. And we have the actual winner, who was the runner-up on the night. And who is that, Lou?
Lucio Corsi with the song Volevo Essere Un Duro. Eurovision. Però non sono nessuno. Non sono nato con la faccia da duro. Ho anche paura del buio. Se faccio botte le prendo. Così mi truccano gli occhi di nero, ma non ho mai perso tempo, è lui che mi ha lasciato indietro. Vivere la vita è un gioco da ragazzi. Eurovision. All right, so, Sanremo. I think for now, will we park Ollie and just focus on the runner-up, who has accepted the invitation to go to Eurovision and represent Italy. So we'll talk about Lucio and that song. First of all, I feel like your girl needs a master's to work out. I love Sanremo. I've been watching it for a couple of years. Every year I seem to like half forget or be just as bamboozled by their voting sequence. It's never like fully clear to me. I know there's a press voting night, there's a covers night. On the Saturday, we have like a form of a super final, but we usually kind of know by the Saturday that like certain entries probably won't win because of the results so far. Then we have a super final, but it's really weird. Then it's like everything's cleared. And then in this super final, we get a winner. And the super finals are always terrifying because everything's cast out the window and you don't know how the Italian public vote. So, Lucio was the runner-up. Really, what's interesting about him was that he was a total dark horse. A little bit of a baby lasagna, we'll say, if we're going to compare it to Croatia's entry last year. Came from nowhere, wasn't a favourite early on. Giorgia and Simone were favourites. Lucio, I think, kind of came into his own on the covers night, which is interesting. And, you know, that's only like the Thursday or something. It's later on in the week. So he came into his own. Yeah. So his song, Volevo Essere Un Duro. Connor, this is the Eurovision entry for Italy. And what are you thinking of it?
So this is really weird for me. I cannot watch this performance. And I think, I don't know if I told you this, I think I said it to our group chat.
You told me something and I had to Google it.
Yeah. So as a kid, I had Michael phobia. And it was basically a phobia of Michael Jackson. And I just can't watch this because it triggers it. It's so bad. It's so, so bad. Just the white face. I just can't watch this performance. So people might think it's really weird. But I have to say it. And I was going like, will I say it on the podcast? It might be. I have to just be honest, lads. I can't watch this performance. And I will go to the bathroom when it's on because it just triggers me. It brings back trauma. Michael Jackson scared me as a child. So, yeah, there we go. Understandably as
I'm
well.
I'm not laughing allegedly. At your phobia. I'm just... It's just the randomness.
It's just random. It's just random. Honestly, I was the only sent to therapy for this. Like,
I was genuinely going to ask you, would you consider going to therapy for it?
No, literally, I was in, like borderline. I could not sleep because, and it was so bad. It was so bad. I used to think like I'd wake up and he'd be like in front of me just going, yay!
No, honestly. And like,
I can laugh about it now because obviously I'm like 24, nearly 25. Oh. Honestly. Because he died when I was 8 years old. And of course, when you're away as well, we were away in Portugal when like he died. So obviously, like the whole like, you know, you're being away, you're not in your own room. Like it's a weird surrounding. And then fucking, Jesus, I Connor. Used to think the shutters were coming up in the apartment. This like figure would come in and just go, yay, in my face. So yeah, honestly, could not sleep. Nearly like nearly contemplating therapy to try and get over Michael-phobia. And it's a real thing. Like, look it up. Like, honestly, it's all over Reddit.
I looked it up when
it's
you texted me.
It's a serious thing, isn't it?
I was really shook. I actually didn't really know how to respond. I think
know.
I gave
you
a love
respond.
Heart. I think, like, a love heart react, maybe. I think I was on
Michael-phobia love heart.
I think I was on holidays and I was like, I'm drinking an Aperol. Yeah. I don't have time for this. I'll talk to you when I'm home, yeah. babe.
There we go.
Connor,
So listening to the song,
I'm here to support you through this time.
Thank you very much. Yeah. Thank you very much. Now I have people coming up to me going, yee, me face. I'm over it now. I'm okay with it now. Listening. But yeah, listening to the song, it's a nice song. It's very easy to listen to. Like, I remember the melody of the like, it's a nice melody. Like, is it, you know, Italy, I feel every year you're like, wow, like they could be in contention to win. This year, I don't feel that with Italy at all. I feel like they're just kind of being a part of the show and they're in their kind of like 2016 era. Remember, like they kind of just showed up with a bit of staging and like submitted
a
song.
Who was 2016 now?
Remember year one, she was holding the
Francesca Michelin.
Yeah, I hated that song.
Oh, Connor.
I hated that song.
No.
So boring. Jesus Christ, give me your plant in your hand. Like, geez, put it back in the
love
soil.
That.
No, not for me at all. Yeah, like San Remo for me, it just as a whole, I feel it's so hard to commit to because it's so long every single night. It's a full-on week and it's always after Eurosong as well. So I don't know what other, you know, songs were in contention. I believe I listened to Ollie. I wasn't mad on Ollie's song either, but back to Lucio. Yeah, like I think juries will love this. They always tend to kind of overrate Italy a tiny bit anyway.
Yeah.
So I think they'll really lap this up, but I don't think this will do well in a televote scenario, to be honest. Even though, like, as we alluded to already, he does have that kind of striking look of, you know, the like white face, the long hair, the kind of, what's the word? That kind of like band outfits that he's going for, kind of, what's that band? Freddie Mercury kind of vibe off him in a way. Yeah. So I think he has that kind of striking look, which might track a few televotes. But yeah, it's a nice melody. The lyrics of the song, like when you look into the English translation, it's a really nice, like, poignant song. It's just about like self-discovery and kind of not fitting in and wanting to be the strong person, but you can't be at the end of the day when you're, you know, that's how you're made and stuff like that. So I really like that message. But like in a competition of songs, it does not stand out for me personally.
That's fair enough.
What about yourself?
Yeah.
Michael-phobia.
I have other phobias, Connor, but we won't get into them today. The listeners have learned a lot about us in this episode. I was just on a note about San Remo. I was really missing the host from the last few years. It was kind of missing some of its charm. Interesting one, actually, just to hop back to Malta for a second. We arrived into Malta the day after San Remo had taken place, and it can't be underestimated how, you know, big the Italian industry is in other parts of Europe. Like, we got into a taxi and it was the whole way on the news. Like, I didn't understand the Maltese, but there were snippets in English on the radio because obviously they speak English in Malta as well. There was a lot of it in Maltese, and like, all I could hear was San Remo, Ali, like all of this, like they were actively talking about San Remo on the radio. I heard some San Remo songs out and about. So San Remo has an effect definitely in places like Malta, definitely in countries like Croatia, like in that kind of region, the Italian music industry is a big deal. So if somebody does well in San Remo and does well in the charts, that does translate to like good support from those regions automatically. This song is so well written, in my opinion. It's like it's a really kind of quietly cool song, and Italy are just so good at that. Like, I often talk about the analogy of if you imagine the Eurovision world as a classroom, like Sweden's the kid at the front, like me, you know, like I'm ready, I did my homework. And, you know, Ireland's like the lazy, like, oh, I did it last week. I used to be really good, whatever. And Italy's the kid at the back, leather jacket on, sprawled out, doesn't study, but still gets an A.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Just that kind of like turns up. It's just automatically cool. And people like them and they get the votes. This yeah, I don't think this is a Eurovision winner. It doesn't have the spark of other recent Italian entries, but there is still something about this. And kind of similarly with what we were touching on with Lithuania there is an audience there just to tap into this style of entry. And we've got a lot of pop this year, a lot of dance, a lot of EDM, which, like, I love, big fan. But there's people out there, this will come on and they'll go, oh, calm. And a man playing the piano. Strip back, simple, sometimes less is more. So I see this doing well. I don't think it's impossible for Italy to snag another top 10. Very disappointed for Georgia. She was a big favourite, unbelievable voice throughout the week. Real shocker. She didn't make it into the super final. No women again in the super final in San Remo. And let me tell you, people were angry. The audience were booing. Really? They were hissing. Oh yeah, the reaction was so bad. And you know who was very vocal? Elodie, who has been very popular on the San Remo circuit. And she came like fairly low down in the end this year. Like she was somewhere like 13th, 14th. Where Georgia came sixth. So she was really close to that super final. Elodie was speaking about it afterwards and she was saying, like, what more do women have to do to be recognized? Because people are streaming our songs and people follow us and they like us and they come to our concerts. But yet when we come to this festival, men just automatically get more support. So I don't know. It's interesting. Now, in fairness, the public vote did skew more to men as well. So maybe it's not just a jury issue. It's also just the public preferring men in general. But I thought that was interesting. Ollie, who actually won the whole thing. Ollie has this like really classic, like Lucio has an Italian charm that's very different to Ollie's. Ollie's like the younger, handsome. He was giving like kind of a young Marco Mengoni. He really reminds me of, if anyone follows Formula One, Charles Leclerc.
Okay.
International heartthrob. Everybody loves Charles Leclerc. Ollie's song was more in the realm of that like Marco Mengoni kind of romance. Lucio is more in the quirky artistic region. I think Ollie probably would have also done very well at Eurovision for similar but slightly different reasons.
Okay.
Probably appealing more to like the romantic sides of people, and an amazing voice to boot as well. From what you've seen of Ollie, do you think that would have been a better choice? Or are they better to stick with Lucio?
Probably a better choice, I reckon. Just because this year is such a female heavy year. And I think just because it's a louder song, maybe would have done a bit better. But then again, on the other hand, like we were saying, like obviously this year is so loud in general. Maybe a slower song like Lucio's song would be a better choice.
It's so hard to know. I think of the two, Lucio is probably the more interesting choice.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm happy they went with him.
Okay.
But I think, I don't know how differently they would have done in terms of results. It's so hard to know. I think Ollie and Lucio would both be in like a similar realm of doing well.
Okay.
So it's like picking apples and oranges. Like,
yeah, they're very different and hard to judge the two.
Yeah. There we have it. We survived a San Remo. Just to bleed about, just to go straight to the airport afterwards. Connor, we've had some Lithuanian being butchered. We've had some Italian. Shall we give it a go at some Gaelga?
May as well. About a week off, so here we go.
The part of every episode where we spread the graw, don Ghaelga, lads, shock on the Ghaelga, toshik chock. It's coming up soon. So make sure you're dusting off those folklore. I know Connor has been.
Yeah.
What's he, Ray?
Tommy Ray.
Hey. Folklore Draws on Shachtin Shah. No. On Idoil Air Bad.
On Idoil. Idoil.
Yeah.
Air Fod. Oh, God. This is so hard, this one. I don't know. Mine's blank. Air Fod.
Keep saying Idoil.
Is it like fiddle or something? Or like.
No.
Idoil.
No.
Idoil. That's I O D A I L.
I O D A Fada I L.
No. It's like Uspidale in oil. Like, what the. Is it? It's not. It's a thing, isn't it?
No.
No. Great start.
Move away from Hospital. Idoil.
Idoil.
I'm gonna say it really fast. Idoil.
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 Idoil. Say it as fast or slow as you want. Idoil.
Idoil. I'm gesturing to him. Idoil.
Idoil. Chatting. I don't know.
Idoil.
Idoil.
I'm really doing it in an accent.
Talking.
No.
No, kind. That's. Oh, Jesus. Idoil. Idoil, Ifad.
Don't worry about the Ifad.
Everyone. Like. It's like. Ifad.
Did you watch Sanremo?
No, we did not.
Oh, sugar. Okay, you might not actually know this.
I got to know.
Idoil.
Tutta Italia.
It's Tutta Italia. That's it.
Well, that's it.
Yeah.
That's so hard. Idoil.
Well, Tutta Italia means like all Italian.
All Italian.
Yeah.
That means Idoil.
Idoil Fad.
Idoil Fad. Okay.
Sorry, Connor. I thought it was topical because we've just spoken about Italy. And Tutta Italia is in contention for San Marino.
It's going to win. It's
I hope so.
It's going to win. It has to win.
It's such a fun slam.
Gonna
I hope
win.
So.
It's going to win. It's going to win.
Fingers crossed. Anyway, sorry for the hard one. We'll go easy on you next week.
No, you're not. As shocked at the Gaelga coming
up. Oh, you'll be, have Alex and myself.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
Can't wait. Slogafo.
Right, Kiel and Grod done and dusted, and it's time to move on to our next country that we are going to be talking about today, and that is Armenia. And they shook things up this year with a national final, which was very interesting. Again, we're going to butcher the name of this. Depi Efrastil? Sounds like a fucking STI or not, something.
Oh,
like,
Jesus, Connor.
You Depi Efrastil.
I'm not laughing out of ignorance. I'm just, we're really trying. Really trying.
Depi?
No, it's Depi Evratazel. Depi Evratazel.
Sounds like an ointment or something. Oh, like geez. You put on. No, a Depi. What? Anyway,
it's Armenian.
Congratulations. Great name. Anyway, so it was brought in to select Armenia's Eurovision representative. A long time since they'd done a national final. Last time was 2020, and of course COVID happened, so we didn't see them at the contest. But anyway, the winner on the night was Parj with Survivor. So, Lou, did you watch the Armenian national final?
No.
No.
That was on the Sunday.
That was on the Sunday. Yeah, I heard it was a bit of a mess.
Yeah.
And based on the winner video that was released anyway, they chose a mess. But we'll get to that in a minute. What do you make of the winner then, Survivor?
Make me a survivor. Da, 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 da. Gonna let me down, let me down. Helena Paparizou. I'm a survivor. I'm gonna make it. What do you think Destiny's Child would think?
Of this?
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
Beyonce.
If it was The Voice, they wouldn't turn.
Mm. So can I say, like, my, if I only had to make one comment.
I always worry when you say, can I just say.
It's just weird. I don't know. I don't know what you're going to make of this. So your man singing this, right, part. Jeepers. Your man.
Your man.
Why does he sound like he's a pure dub singing this? Oi, Mazar, oi, Mar. He sounds like he's just gotten off the Green Line on O'Connell Street.
Green Line.
He's getting off on O'Connell Street and he's going out for a day of shopping and he's just, I don't know, survived the fucking January sales and he's a survivor. Or he's just been out in Coppers all night and he's a survivor.
Or you know when you meet those people in smoking area and they're so drunk and they're telling you your life story and you just don't care and they're like, I'm a survivor. I survived. I'm a survivor. And we're just like, fair play, man. You go. And right, go on. Let's go in for the boogie. And he's spewing shit like.
Just because you couldn't get your chicken fillet roll yesterday. Yeah.
And I'm a survivor. I went for a spicy instead of plain.
No mayo left.
No taco sauce. He's seen. He's trying to give me this mint stuff.
No, literally, Connor, watch this. No thoughts. Just why is this man from Dublin? He's probably never heard of the place. He's in Armenia. I'd say half the population of Dublin doesn't know where he is. I don't know. Thomas G-son strikes again.
Oh,
another Thomas G-son and Benji. I mean, he looks good. The staging's kind of something. There's lighting. There's music. There's microphones and really loud shouting into the microphones. Yeah, this like, there's something here, but they really need to clean it up. Now, in fairness to Armenia, like they're not, you know, they're probably stretched beyond their means there putting that national final together, and absolute fair dues to them for doing it, especially after going internal for so many years. I always respect a country putting any level of effort into their Eurovision rep. So that's always good. And I, you know, they're not a broadcaster with like the biggest budget or anything like that, or the biggest beans to work with. So look, they've done their best. Typically, they are much better at polishing things when they bring it to the main contest. So I'm really hoping that's the case here. At the minute, I personally can't warm to this entry. It's a little bit like in my face. It's a little bit just shouty. The live performance is not good. I think that really turned me off it in general. I also think like, I hate to compare, but I do it sometimes and it's natural. It's competition. If you look at what Norway are doing, it's so much, it's close to what Armenia are doing, but it's so much better in my opinion. And like look for a broadcaster like NRK, they are just going to have their stuff together earlier on and that's fine. If the Armenian broadcaster are going to go away and work on this, hopefully they can produce something good. But at the minute, it's, yeah, I'm disappointed. And I mean, I didn't see this national final, but from songs that I heard,
You're right.
From the songs that I heard, there wasn't a whole lot to work with here. This is one of the better of a bad bunch. So I'm a little bit negative about this one, but yet I'm hopeful. Connor, what are your thoughts?
It worries me when I see eight composers and the best thing they could write was I'm a survivor.
Out in the fire with desire. ESC Tom always talks about that.
Bad. Yeah. To be honest, I hadn't watched it in full until today, until we were talking about it, because I'd switch off. Like, the vocals are atrocious. The staging's atrocious. Like, it's a big rock and then it splits or whatever. I don't know. I just can't warm to this entry whatsoever. I skip it. I don't watch it. I have no interest in it whatsoever. If they clean it up, great, but I still don't think it's going to do it any justice when it comes to semi-final two, that bloodbath of a semi. You know, it's so fun. And even just like vocal abilities amongst the singers that we've seen so far, like he is just going to plonk down so far. If this qualifies, I'll be shocked. And yeah, maybe it's just a bit of a lesson to Armenia that they don't need to be doing national finals. You know, like you were saying, if this was a stretch for them to put on, maybe just focus so hard on putting on a great internal competition and picking, you know, Rosalind. You know, look what that happened to that post Eurovision, and you know, even last year with Yako and what was the brunette as well, you know,
future lover.
So like they can do it internally. I don't see the need for this. I feel like this national final was announced quite late as well. It was a kind of end of January, February decision. So yeah, I don't know. Look, they finished top 10 last year. I don't think they'll be anywhere near that this year. I think they'll be lucky to even be in the final. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, I haven't seen much hype for this online either. Amongst the fans, and I don't blame them because there's better songs to be hyping up about. And yeah, we'll see what happens, but honestly, no time for this entry whatsoever.
Sure, we'll meet him for a pint anyway when he comes home to Dublin, and yeah, it'd be grand.
He's not even, like, oh God.
He is in my mind. Armenia is a country I root for. Like, I want them to do well. It's a disappointment for
me. Not this year, girl. Not this year.
Yako was deadly last year. Anyway, they are gone. Eighth place, though. Great result. Where are we going next? We're going north on a boat. It sounds like Ireland, but it's not. It's the
there's a sea.
There's a sea. And there's another island. Connor, we're heading off to Iceland because on the 22nd of February, Iceland selected their entry, Vibe, with Róa. Blonde twins, silver get up, tons of energy, catchy, dancey theme. Are you seeing where I'm going with this? Are they Jepic, Connor?
They're Jepic. I feel like I'm back in 2012 with Waterline.
You know, same vibes. They have the Jedward seal of approval.
Yes, they do. They commented. Yeah. They literally said the Icelandic Jedward. So
I love that.
Seal of approval. Or as Emmy called it, the Jedwards. The Jedward.
Oh my God. They're going to get on so well, Emmy.
Oh, she's going to be thinking
their
of
outfits
Jedward.
Are going to be coordinating and everything. Yeah. Aww.
A lot of silver going on this year. A lot of silver.
Yeah, I'm here for it. I'm here for it.
Yes. Yeah, Vibe.
What are your thoughts?
Yeah, so we actually watched the Icelandic National Final.
Did we?
I did. I thought you did.
Oh, we I thought you meant together.
Oh, no, not together. But we were watching it like at the same time. So I know we were texting because
yeah.
I was dying, but I know we were, you know, on the same vibe with Vibe for the night, you know,
same
when we
vibe
saw.
With Vibe, love it.
Yes, and the Icelandic selection, there was not a lot of choice. Like, this was literally the only choice they could have gone with. This was, you know, the minute this came on the night, the crowd were going, it just woke us all up because the final was so bad. But look, by no means is this like polished, or is this like a winning entry? By no means, but it's fun, it's quirky. The twins or the brothers, they're not twins, they're just brothers.
Yeah.
They just bring so much charisma onto the camera. The staging, I actually showed my friend this. This came on, and I showed them the performance, and they loved the idea of like the makeshift boat and the like asteroids or like the random objects flying at them. They were like, that's so cool, with the dance yeah. movements as well. She was loving it for some reason. So if they can just polish this, and similar to us with Like a Party, if they can just, like, you know, throw a load of money onto the stage and make it look professional and really, really good, I think it will do, you know, all right on the night. I think it still is going to be a struggle for them to qualify. Personally, myself, I really like the song. I think it's such a fun, anthemic kind of song. It's real catchy. And yeah, it's just fun. And I think, you know, just add more fun to the year that is already there. Particularly, this is a semi-final one, I believe, as well. So semi-final two, full of like those, you know, party anthems and stuff like that. So semi-final one deserves a bit of that from semi-final two. But yeah, look, I'm vibing with this. I think it's good. It's kind of middle of the road for the moment, though, for me. Like, it's probably sitting in my, like, 13th to 17th positions, if I'm looking at it so far, I think. But yeah, I'm happy with Iceland's choice. What about yourself?
Love it. Like, I'm an era of, like, Scooter followed by Bass Hunter with Cascada. Like, that's, like, my later childhood, we'll say. Bloody love it. This is just so fun. Like, undeniably fun. I'm seeking that this year. This is one of my favorite Eurovision years in such a long time.
Really?
Yeah, because I'm loving the noise. I'm loving how wacky everyone's being and how quirky everyone's going. I'm lapping it up. I'm sure when the week comes, I'll be wrecked because, like, I'll be bopping around constantly. And I'm sure LEP, I'll have, like, some headache the next day.
Jesus.
But, you know, it'll be worth it because it's just so much fun. Like, this whole concept is deadly. And, like, as a little bit of a, I feel like a lot of Eurovision fans can relate to this. So my boyfriend affectionately nicknames me Map Girl because, like, I'm, like, really, like, I'm a real, like, geography nerd. So, like, I'm obsessed with maps and, like, I love flight radar and, like, I'm obsessed with travel and journeys. So, like, if we, like, take a flight somewhere, like, I have to go on flight radar afterwards and know the path that we took and, like, where we started ascending and descending. And, like, I'm just weird like that. I've started getting into boats. Like, I follow where the boats are going. Like, I'm my father's daughter, let's just say. My dad's into all that stuff. And now in my 30s is going to be like my era for this, right? And their song is about rowing. Like, but it's so random because obviously, like, the visuals, they're like chucking stuff at the boat. I kind of love that, like, the boat is imperfect. Like, you could see there's, like, a gap in the middle. It just makes it more charming to me that, like, they probably handmade it or it's something and it doesn't fully fit. I think it's gas. Their lyrics, I place a plank on a plank and call it a boat. If I sink today, it's no problem. Like, the lyrics are just like, woo. They reference floating towards the Faroe Islands, which is east of Iceland. And then, like, a few verses later, they reference, oh, now we're off to Greenland. So they go off west towards Greenland. So they're referencing their local islands. They weren't far off from mentioning Ireland. They also mention Gisli Marten, which is their, like, usual commentator for Eurovision. He actually abstained last year to protest to the EBU, but he's their usual one. And they have a lyric about, like, having a captain and they reference him. And it's like, it's as if, like, Jedward would mention Marty Whelan in their song. Like, I just love that. I think it's so fun. Yeah, the song is boppy. The staging's fun. It's kooky. It's crazy. I think this will get out of semi one in a televote-only semi. Iceland always struggle, but I think this could do it. Hopefully they're kind to them in terms of running order. That would really, really help. But I'd love to see this in the final. This is definitely a contender to, like, open a Eurovision final or something if it makes it in. And I see this doing well on TikTok, like, with younger fans. Like, there's a gap in the market for, I'm not saying Jedward are done with at all, but, like, for more of that kind of act. I could see them meeting Jedward at events and vibing with them. Like, we could have this club of, like, Eurovision brothers, you know, Marcus and Martinez, you know, we Terrell Turan another year. Also, the nerdy part of my heart loves that they turned up. Did you see at the national final, they had, like, a pie chart of why people should vote for them. And they had a pie chart of how Icelandic language entries tend to do better than English language ones. And that's why people should vote for them. And I was like, guys, you're in my league. I'd be voting for you based off that alone.
Did they do a YouTube video as well of how they're campaigning so hard to move from 35th position, the odds to 34th. And when they got to 34th, they were like, mission accomplished. Thank you so much. They were like, yes, this is the goal. Our next campaign is 33 to 32.
Oh my God, we're Irish. We should help them with the 33.
Yeah, 33.
33 and a third.
33 and a third.
The international listeners are like, they said the thing. this is gas. I'm loving this.
Do you think it's gonna qualify?
Like, I'll have to pull up semi one to, like, confirm, but I think so.
I think it's gonna be tight. I think it's gonna be tight just because of who is there, to be honest.
I mean, you've got Norway, which is, you've got Sweden, Ukraine, so it's always hard up against them. It's more a case of who will not get out of that semi.
Yeah.
Oh, jeepers, you've got Estonia as well.
The hard one.
Albania. Belgium's a big player there.
Poland.
Netherlands. Oh, yeah, that's a tough old semi, actually.
Yeah.
I still think they could do it. I think they could squeak in.
Okay.
Let's see. You never know. Yeah, there we have it.
Mm-hmm.
Iceland have picked. I always root for them as well. Small island nation.
You root for everyone.
I want them to do well. No, it's more that I don't voice who I don't root for. They'll cancel me, Connor.
Jesus.
No, I tend to root for the smaller countries just because they're like ourselves, mm-hmm. you know? So there we have it. We've had songs and we've had countries. I've forgotten half of them. I'm tired. We'll be back soon. We have a couple of special episodes coming up,
mm-hmm.
and a bit of catching up to do, lads. Bear with us. But please do reach out, because as we're recording less, we have less interaction with you guys, listeners, and we'd love to hear from you all again now that we're out of a mini mid-season hibernation. Reach out to us on all our socials. Send us an email. Send us a voice message. We love a cheeky voice message. You never know. You might hear yourself on the podcast.
You can find us on all the usual spots. We're on Instagram at Airvision Podcast, X or Twitter, whatever you call it, Airvision Pod. We're also on Facebook. We're on Blue Sky. Just search up Airvision. TikTok at Airvision Podcast 2. If you want to email us, airvisionpodcast@gmail.com. And of course, if you want to support us and help us to grow this podcast, please donate to us on buymeacoffee.com/Airvision. And of course, wherever you're listening to this podcast, whether that be on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, or also on YouTube, please leave a 5-star review, like, subscribe, and follow.
Like a party.
Like a party. So you don't miss any future episodes. And also, it helps other Eurovision fans who may be looking for Eurovision podcast to find us. But I guess for the moment, we park it there. Keep an eye out for future episodes. They're coming thick and fast. As Elise said, we are back from our mini hibernation and we got another one dropping very, very soon. A very special one indeed. But for now, from myself and Lou, all we got to say is
Salonga Fall.